Hello! I'm very excited to announce that we now have merchandise for Bedtime Stories with R.A. Spratt. You can order t-shirts, sweaters, hoodies, notebooks and coffee cups, all with the show's new logo on it. They look super cool, so check it out. I'll put a link in the show notes for the online store, or you can go to my website, raspratt.com, and click on the merchandise banner. So if you have been enjoying the stories, please do consider ordering something to support the show and help me keep kicking this can down the road. Hello and welcome to Bedtime Stories with me, R.A. Spratt. Okay, well, we're back to regular stories this week. Now, some listeners in Ireland wrote to me and asked me to do a story about St. Patrick because it's St. Patrick's Day coming up on the 17th of March. So I thought, that's a really good idea. Admittedly, I did not know a lot about St. Patrick before I started researching this story. But when I did start researching it, it was a crackingly good yarn. So I thought, this is a great idea. So I've written it all up, and that's what I'm going to read for you now. So I hope you enjoy it. Here we go. The True History of St. Patrick, as told by Nanny Piggins. It was a cold and rainy day, so Nanny Piggins, Boris and the children were sitting inside dunking chocolate brownies in their hot chocolate, while they watched the life-size replica of the statue of David they'd just built out of marzipan dissolve in the rain. The rain made Michael think of Ireland, which made him think of St. Patrick's Day. "Nanny Piggins, have you ever been bitten by a snake?" asked Michael. "No, my dear," said Nanny Piggins. "I've always had a healthy working relationship with every snake I've ever met. We soon come to an agreement. If they don't bite me, I won't bite them. I know snakes can be venomous, but I can be vicious, and we arrive at a peaceful coexistence due to the desire to avoid mutually assured destruction." "Oh," said Michael, having not understood a lot of what his nanny just said. "Why do you ask?" "Oh, because it's St. Patrick's Day next week," said Michael, "and our teacher told us that St. Patrick was the man who drove all the snakes out of Ireland." "Oh, dear," said Nanny Piggins. "I know your teacher means well, but he keeps getting so many facts wrong." "What's he got wrong this time?" asked Derek curiously. "St. Patrick wasn't a man," said Nanny Piggins. "She was a woman. Her name was actually Patricia."
"Really?" said Derek.
"Was she also a pig?" guessed Samantha.
"And perhaps a distant relative of yours?" added Derek. "Well, she was a woman so stunningly charismatic that she persuaded all the people of Ireland to adopt Christianity, and all the snakes of Ireland to leave just by asking them nicely," said Nanny Piggins. "So, of course, she was a Piggins. My great-great-great times 72 greats, Aunt Patricia Piggins, who changed her name to St. Patrick. You know how celebrities do. She probably thought it had a catchier ring to it."
"You'd better tell us the whole story," said Derek.
"Well, it all began 1,500 years ago in the ancient Roman story days," said Nanny Piggins.
"But St. Patrick was Irish," said Michael. "Surely you mean the ancient Irish story days?"
"Not at all," said Nanny Piggins. "St. Patrick wasn't Irish."
"But he's the patron saint of Ireland," said Michael.
"Yes, so immigrants do amazing things all the time," said Nanny Piggins. "No, St. Patrick was born in Britain. But she actually may have been Roman."
"You mean Italian?" asked Samantha.
"No, Italy hadn't been invented yet," said Nanny Piggins. "This was the ancient Roman story days, as I said. The city of Rome had a massive empire which stretched so far it included Britain, but not Ireland. So Britain was Roman at the time. So St. Patrick, or dear Aunt Patricia as we know her, her father was a citizen of Rome, although we can't be sure that he came from Rome."
"Wow," said Derek, "that's all pretty complicated."
"Indeed. So our story begins with dear Aunt Patricia as a teenager hanging out in Britain, doing all the usual teenage things. Although, come to think of it, none of the usual teenage things had been invented yet. There were no malls, no computers, no video games, and no cyberbullying. So there was nothing to do at all. Her father was a deacon and her grandfather was a priest, which, being a surly teenager, she thought was tremendously boring. Until one day, when suddenly her life became way less boring than she could have possibly wanted."
Was she visited by an angel from God? Guessed Michael.
No, said Nanny Piggins.
Did a burning bush talk to her? Asked Derek.
No, said Nanny Piggins.
Did a sea part for her so she could walk through without getting her feet wet? Asked Samantha.
These were the type of things the children knew happened to saints all the time.
No, said Nanny Piggins. My dear Aunt Patricia's life was turned upside down when she was kidnapped by pirates.
No way, exclaimed Michael. You're making that up, said Derek.
It's true, said Nanny Piggins. At the age of 16, Patricia, also known as St. Patrick, was kidnapped by pirates.
Of the Caribbean? Asked Samantha.
No, not the Caribbean, said Nanny Piggins. Columbus wouldn't get lost and bump into the Americas for another 1,000 years. Everyone in the Caribbean was still living happy and peaceful lives, colonialism free at this stage. No, these pirates were Dal Riata pirates.
What are they? Asked Samantha.
Irish pirates, said Nanny Piggins. They controlled the north of Ireland and the east of Scotland and all the water in between. And when they were feeling particularly piratey, they would sail over to Britain and kidnap people.
What for? Asked Michael.
Animal herding, said Nanny Piggins.
Huh? Said Michael.
No one likes animal herding, said Nanny Piggins. Sheep and cows are lovely creatures, but they do tend to poop everywhere. And they live on moors and heaths. And the moors and heaths of Northern Ireland can be pretty cold and grim. It's much more fun to be sailing the seas in your pirate ship than minding a flock of sheep in an Irish field. So, to get out of their animal herding chores, the pirates nipped over to Britain and kidnapped Patricia.
But just remember, she wasn't a saint at this stage. She was just a normal 16-year-old. You know, annoying, self-absorbed, most likely covered in acne.
Ha-ha, me hearty, get aboard me ship or yonder, for thee be kidnapped, said the pirate.
Wouldn't they have had Irish accents, said Derek.
I'm not doing an Irish accent. That would be racist, said Nanny Piggins.
But doing a pirate voice is okay, asked Samantha.
Of course, said Nanny Piggins. Everybody loves a pirate voice. I'm amazed more people don't speak like that all the time.
Avast thee, landlubber. We're setting sail for the Emerald Isle, for ye be our slave now, said the pirate.
But I don't want to be a slave, said Patricia.
Well then, me hearty, I shall bop thee on thine head and stuff thee in a sack, giving thee no choice in the matter, said the pirate.
And that is what they did. Having kidnapped Patricia, they forced her to take care of their animals, and she spent the next 6 years standing in a field looking after cows and sheep.
6 years, exclaimed Michael. That's as bad as primary school.
Well, it's bad, but it's not that bad, said Nanny Piggins. Patricia got on with the cows and sheep tremendously well. They liked to stand around doing nothing but eat, and she liked standing around doing nothing but eat, so they had a lot in common. But the job was extremely dull. You see, cows and sheep are ruminants. They have four stomachs, so they're constantly re-chewing their food, which means their mouths are always full. And cows and sheep are polite animals. They'd never dream of talking with their mouths full, so they're not great conversationalists.
Unless, interrupted Boris, they know sign language. I once knew a lovely cow who would chat for hours in sign language while still chewing her food. Although she did keep falling over all the time, because you need to use your hands for sign language, and cows aren't very good at standing on two legs.
The children considered the idea of a cow standing on her hind legs so she could talk in sign language with a bear while chewing her food, and it was hard not to laugh. But Boris sometimes cried if you laughed at his stories, so they refrained.
Well, none of these cows spoke sign language, continued Nanny Piggins. So Patricia was soon bored out of her mind. The only person to talk to was God.
God? Said Samantha.
Was he an animal herder too? Asked Michael.
Not literally, no, said Nanny Piggins,
although some say that he is a shepherd of men. And by men, they mean women as well as men. It's a weird semantic oversight most commonly made by men.
Anyway, Patricia didn't literally start talking to God. He wasn't popping by the field for a cup of tea. She just started to pray to him. And she was so bored in the field that she started to pray to God 100 times a day.
She hadn't been particularly religious before being kidnapped. Hey, but you said her father was a deacon and her grandfather was a priest, said Samantha.
Yes, but like so many rebellious teenagers, she wanted to get out of the family line of business.
But being stolen and forced into slavery, then forced to stand in a rainy field for year after year, made Patricia rethink her priorities. No one knows exactly what she said in her prayers to God, but I imagine there was a lot of pleading with God to help her unkidnap herself. And help came. Admittedly, it wasn't terribly helpful help. She had a dream.
Was it a dream that led her to an escape route, a sack full of money, and the fastest horse in all the land? Asked Boris.
No, Boris. This is a factual story, not a fairy tale where everything goes splendidly. History is never as pleasant as that. Patricia dreamt that a boat was waiting for her.
That's it? Asked Michael.
Well, it had been 6 years and was the most encouragement she'd had, so Patricia decided to go with it. She and a bunch of other slaves snuck out and they walked 200 miles to the nearest port, found a boat and begged the captain to take them home to Britain. And she was a Piggin, so startlingly attractive and impossible to say no to, so she soon persuaded the captain. But once back in Britain, there were no trains, or buses, or really much of anything in the way of public transport infrastructure. So Patricia and her slave friends had to walk for weeks and weeks to get back home. They got very disheartened along the way because they were starving. It's so hard to stay cheerful when you haven't had a slice of cake for 6 years. And you've got to remember that this was 1,500 years ago, so there were no roadside service stations, restaurants, or convenience stores. Britain was all forests and wilderness back then. Patricia and her friends were feeling very disheartened. Having gone to all the trouble of escaping and sailing back to Britain, they were now going to starve to death in their own homeland. When suddenly they turned a bend in the road and came across a herd of wild pigs.
And they ate them, exclaimed Derek. But that would have been cannibalism.
Of course she didn't eat them. She was a saint, said Nanny Piggins.
No, Patricia asked the pigs for a recommendation for a good local restaurant. The pigs knew just the place and they all had a lovely meal together. Then the ex-slaves finished walking home. Having arrived back at home, Patricia decided she would not go back to her old ways of idleness. She trained to become a priest. She went and studied in France and Rome. Then, when she was a fully qualified priest, she decided she wanted to go back to Ireland.
Why? Asked Samantha. Wasn't she worried about the pirates?
No, she was a grown-up now, said Nanny Piggins, and if you see pictures of St. Patrick, you'll see she always carried a staff. People think it's because she needed it to drive all the snakes out of Ireland. But in reality, she carried that staff just in case she needed to bop a pirate on the head. So Patricia set out for Ireland, determined to convert all the Irish people to Christianity, said Nanny Piggins.
What did the Irish people think about that? Asked Michael.
They loved it, said Nanny Piggins. Admittedly, not all of them loved it straight away. The first place she landed, there was a bit of argy-bargy and she had to jump back in her boat and do a bit of strategic hiding. But eventually, Christianity in Ireland became quite a big hit, which is when Patricia became a saint. St. Patrick, because everyone thought she'd done such a top-notch job of bringing the church to Ireland.
In all the pictures I've ever seen, St. Patrick has a long white beard, said Derek.
Oh yes, that's true. She took to wearing a long white beard, not unlike Santa Claus, said Nanny Piggins, to hide her true identity, so she wouldn't get bothered by paparazzi in her downtime.
The children boggled over this statement for a moment as Nanny Piggins continued.
It was a lot of work converting a whole population of a country. St. Patrick was rushed off her feet with all the baptizing and converting. Whole thing went like gangbusters. But St. Patrick took her religion very seriously. You really have to once you become a saint. She fondly remembered all her good chats with God when she was out in the middle of the damp field with nothing else to do. So she decided to have a break from all the converting and baptizing so she could climb a hill, sit on the top and pray all day just like she had in the olden days.
You mean like a holiday? Asked Michael.
More of a retreat, said Nanny Piggins, which is what you call a holiday you take for work so you can make it tax deductible.
Now, you know how it is. When you're really busy, you long for a chance to sit and do nothing. Then, when you finally do nothing, it turns out it's really hard. You can't sit still because suddenly your nose is so itchy you can't not touch it. Your bottom needs to wriggle. Your feet get pins and needles. You have the overwhelming urge to leap up and run around in circles screaming, "Woo!" And that's what happened to St. Patrick. But when you're a missionary trying to convince everyone that the church is a wonderful, peaceful thing, you can't do stuff like that because it makes you look bad. And if not bad, then definitely silly, which is not what people are looking for in a church. So Patricia was struggling to concentrate on her prayers and sit still. Bees would buzz by her head. Rabbits would hop past looking adorable. Ducks would fly overhead and poop on her. And she had to pretend to not notice any of it. But the straw that broke the camel's back was...
"A camel?" asked Boris. "Because camels are big. I can imagine if a camel sat on your back, it could break it." "Perhaps not my back, because I'm a bear and I'm quite tall."
Boris was 10 feet tall.
"And you're muscly," said Michael.
Boris nodded. He weighed 700 kilograms, and Nanny Piggins assured him that that was 100% muscle and internal organs.
"But if a camel sat on a human, that would definitely break the human's back," said Boris.
"No, it wasn't a camel," said Nanny Piggins. "It was a snake."
"Why did a snake want to break her back?" asked Boris.
"It didn't. It wanted to bite her," said Nanny Piggins.
"I'm not following this story at all," said Boris. "The pirates were confusing enough, but now overambitious snakes? A snake could never swallow a whole human. Snakes can't chew."
"Unless she was a very small person."
"Was St. Patrick a very small person? Is that where Irish leprechauns come from? Was St. Patrick the first ever leprechaun?"
"No, Boris. Have you been helping yourself to the industrial-sized jars of honey again?"
"Maybe," conceded Boris.
"I think the sugar is making your imagination a little too imaginary," said Nanny Piggins.
St. Patrick was sitting on top of a hill, praying, when a snake approached her.
"And that's when she leapt up with a staff and drove all the snakes out of Ireland?" asked Derek.
"No," said Nanny Piggins.
"But that's what the legend says," said Derek. "St. Patrick is famous for driving all the snakes out of Ireland."
"Pish," said Nanny Piggins.
"St. Patrick was literally a saint.
She was a good person. She would never be cruel to an animal just because it was a legless reptile."
"Then what did she do?" asked Samantha.
"Well, it was a very cold, overcast day, so St. Patrick felt dreadfully sorry for the snake."
"How do you survive here?" worried St. Patrick. "Snakes are cold-blooded. You need sunshine and warmth on your body so that you can move about and eat."
"Oh, it is hard," admitted the snake. "It's pretty chilly in Ireland. If I had joints, I'm sure they'd be arthritic."
"You should consider moving somewhere warmer and sunnier," said St. Patrick. "This constant rain is fine for potatoes and peat bogs, but it's not nice for a cold-blooded reptile like you."
"Do you have anywhere you could recommend?" asked the snake.
"Not having legs, snakes aren't great travellers.
Oh, I know, perhaps we could go to Spain."
"Oh, you don't want to go there," said St. Patrick. "They have flamenco dancing. It's a very stompy kind of dance, and you don't want to be stomped on by a tap dancer."
"I'll tell you what, have you ever considered Australia?"
"Never heard of it," said the snake.
"Oh, it's a lovely country. On the far side of the planet," said St. Patrick. "Lots of beautiful beaches and great big dry sunny deserts full of rocks you could sunbathe on."
"Oh, that does sound lovely.
I'm going to gather up all the other snakes and head there right now."
And the snake did. And so that is how St. Patrick brought Christianity to Ireland and politely persuaded all the snakes of Ireland to leave. And was kidnapped by pirates. Which really is the bit they should talk about more often because it sounds very thrilling. I do hope St. Patrick got to carry a cutlass, wear an eye patch, and have a parrot on his shoulder. Of course, some people say that driving the snakes out of Ireland was just a metaphor for driving Satan out of Ireland. But personally, I don't believe in letting metaphors ruin a good story. The end. Time for bed.
All right, well, that's it for this week. Thank you so much for listening. This week, what's going on? Okay, my book, Hamlet Is Not Okay, has gone on sale this week in the United States of America, which is a big deal for me. I'd really hope it does well, because if it does well, then my next book, when it comes out there, the Romeo and Juliet book, I will be able to go on tour and visit people in America. So if you are in America, please, please, please get a copy. You can, if you're, because it's distributed in America, it shouldn't be too hard to get. If your bookstore doesn't have it, you can just ask the people at the bookstore desk to order it in for you, or you can get it from your local online, your favorite online bookseller. All right, that's it. I think that's all the news and announcements. Okay, well, that's it for this week. I'm going to be getting stuck into some more Greek myths coming up as I prepare for my Greek mythology book. So until next time, goodbye.